Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
So good to see you guys this morning. My name is Pastor Justin. It's great to be here with you guys. Just give somebody a high five. Say, man, it's good to be here. Let's try that again. Give somebody a high five and say, open up your mouth and say, man, it's good to be here. Amen. How many of you guys are glad you came to church this morning? How many know you'd rather be here than in jail? Amen. Amen. Okay. You're like, are those my only two options? Yes, those are the only two options, here or in jail. So let's pray. Hopefully this doesn't feel like jail. If it does, we need to pray. Anyway, we're going to start a brand new series this morning called Church Doesn't Work. And I don't know if you can see, really, you got to read the fine print there, but in parentheses, but Jesus does. And we're going to be in this for the next few weeks, right through Easter. I'm going to be preaching on the same theme this Easter. And I just am excited to dig into this, man. I really sense, I just feel the presence of the Lord here this morning. I feel like the Lord is going to speak deeply to our hearts this morning and over the next few weeks. So we are going to dig right in. Are you guys prepared? Are you guys ready? You can follow along in YouVersion on the YouVersion Bible app on the Events tab, and there's some notes there that you can keep track of, or the scriptures will be on the screen, and we're going to dig right in. Now, just from the outset, from the beginning, and I'll probably make sure I have to share this every single week, but I can't think of the word I'm looking for, some phrase. There's a specific word that I'm searching for, and I can't find it right now. You know that thing you say before you say something to, like, give kind of some context? What's that thing called? Disclaimer. A disclaimer. Thank you, Dad. My father, elder of the church, one of the founding elders of our church, and former English professor. There you go. That's why we keep him around. Thank you. Thank you, Dad. So, disclaimer. Yes, thank you. That was the exact word I was looking for. A disclaimer here on this from the outset. We are not in any way, shape, or form suggesting that because church doesn't work that we should not come to church. I understand the irony of being in a church talking about and preaching about a series called Church Doesn't Work. So under no circumstances are we suggesting that you should stop coming to church or stop being a part of church. What I am going to suggest in a few different ways over the next few weeks is perhaps we should possibly challenge and rethink and ask ourselves, why are we coming to church? What are we coming to church for? Why are we here? What are we doing? What does that mean? So what are you talking about? Church doesn't work. And really, this truth began to really resonate in my spirit a long time ago, a while back. Because let me just give you the story of where this thought came from. The idea, I had a conversation a long time ago with someone that was beginning to kind of drift from church. They'd been really involved, had served, had helped, had done a lot of the stuff that we encourage you to do, been involved in life groups, and there's beginning to drift. I was talking to him, I said, hey, you know, what's going on? I noticed you, I just kind of feel like you're just kind of drifting away a little bit. Just want to make sure everything's okay. We love you, we're praying for you. Is there anything we can do? And what I heard back was they had said, you know, I just don't feel like I'm getting what I need from church right now. I just don't feel like I'm getting what I need from church right now. And that kind of threw me off a little bit, and I began to pray, and I began to have this thought. You know what? There is a point, if depending on how we look at church, it is true that perhaps church, at least depending on your definition of it, church really may not work without a few key ingredients. Are you following me so far? And so let me just say this from the outset. We're talking about, well, if church doesn't work, what are we doing here? Here's the thing. We're going to challenge why we come to church, why are we here, what this is about, because here is the reality. Here is the reality. If all I do is come to church, guess what? I got news for you. It won't work the way that we may expect it to. Amen? Let me read the scripture today. Here's kind of the topic. This is kind of the basis of everything we're talking about this over the next few weeks. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25. This is not a new text. This is something that many of you have probably heard before if you've been around church for any length of time. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25. Jesus is speaking. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. If you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this time that we have together in your word today. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak deeply to us, speak intimately to us, Lord. I pray that we would just over the next few moments allow your word to work through us, Lord God, like yeast through dough. Let it saturate every part of our hearts. And Lord, I pray that in these next few moments together, we would not just hear a sermon, we would not just get some ideas, we would not just hear a lesson, but God, I pray that we would not only have revelation, but Lord, that we would have an encounter with you together this morning as the family of God, as we seek you in Jesus' precious name. Put your hand on your belly somewhere, pray this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes, open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be what you've called me to be. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Help me today, God, to preach your word to your precious people, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, if you guys are I don't know if you, how many of you guys are like me, but I don't know about you, but in about 3 weeks, something I've been looking forward to for literally a year straight now will happen, and that is Avengers 4, Avengers Endgame will drop in theaters. Anybody else excited about that? Just me? I'm the only one, man. I tell you, I mean, listen, I'll be the first one. I don't care where I got to go. I'm going to be there opening night. I can't sleep on it, can't wait on it. And so don't try to find me on April 28th when that comes out, because that's where I'm going to be. I may take like a few days to prepare for it. I might just have to hide in a cave or whatever, because I am psyched. Now, here's what happens. With every superhero movie, every one of them come out, whether it's Superman, Aquaman, Batman, Avengers, Spider-Man, whatever they come out with, every single time around when these movies come out, you'll start finding articles online that will say something, like maybe you've seen it in a Google ads or on a Facebook ad or something on your screen, something that'll be like, the Thor Avengers workout. Anybody seen one of those, or seen like the Captain America? Anybody seen those ads for that stuff? The Thor War on YouTube. Get the Thor look. Get the Captain America look. Get the superhero look. Because I mean, let's face it. Throw this picture. I mean, look at this. This is Thor. I know. I mean, that's who wouldn't want to look like that? You understand what I'm saying? I know you. That's the actor. That's not me. That's the actor Chris Hemsworth up there, right, who plays Thor. I know you're like, oh, that's you, Pastor Jess. I appreciate that. But that's a different dude. And so you might see. Let's leave that for a second. You might see an article that's like the Thor workout. Get the Thor look from Avengers Endgame or whatever. And you'll look at their workout. And I've looked at those workouts before because I obviously thought I would like to look like Thor. I've already got the beard. I just need the six pack. You know what I'm saying? And so I look at the workout. And here's the thing. I look at their workout. And it's like Monday, back day, push-ups, rows, deadlifts, arm curls. And I'm looking at that. And then the next day, I'm like, when Tuesday, chest day, bench press, push-ups, tricep extensions, you know. And this is the thing I'm thinking. When I look at the workout, here's the thing. I have been doing those exact same moves for years. I didn't even know it. I didn't even know that I was working out like a superhero, Sam Smith, but I've been doing the Thor superhero workout for years. And I've got a little bit of a complaint and a little bit of a grievance. I'm thinking about hiring a lawyer because I've been doing that same workout for a long time, and I still don't look like that. I still don't have the Thor look, right? But I've been doing the workout. I've been going to the gym. I've been doing what I think he's doing to get that look. But it's not. Why isn't it working for me? Okay? And sometimes I wonder if we don't look at going to church like that. We see somebody who's made a radical life change, who God has absolutely ridiculously changed their life, transformed life. You can take that down now. I don't want there to be any more confusion about who's on the screen. We look at somebody who we might think, man, they've got together. God's blessing them. God's, look, they're getting promoted. They're getting everything taken care of. Or man, they've made this ridiculous change. And you look and you go, well, and you try to trace down and track down what was it that led to this favor in their life? What was it that led to this blessing in their life? What was it that led to this change in their life? And you go, oh, they started going to church. And so you think, well, I'll start going to church too. Maybe that'll start rubbing off on me. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's what I need to do. In fact, I literally somebody I don't even really know, just, you know how you got like friends on in your Facebook group that you don't even know, you just like you knew of them or whatever. Somebody, I just noticed this like a couple of weeks ago. Somebody posted, they said, going to church today, maybe it'll help me figure my life out. Okay, now I want you to understand, I'm a pastor. This is what I do for my life. We're spending hundreds into the thousands of dollars to invite people to church this Easter Sunday. So it's a big deal. I'm not knocking going to church, but I want to be very honest and upfront with you and maybe tell you a dirty little secret that I don't know that I've ever heard a pastor say before, but here's the deal. Listen, if all I'm going to do is just attend church, I got news for you. It won't work. Thor's got some other stuff going on than pull-ups and push-ups and bench presses, okay? He's got a professional trainer, professional nutritionist. Just as face it, he's got a different genetic code than I do. My wife's over there going, yes, he does. At his core, he is different. He's made up of something different than me. So I can do all the pull-ups and push-ups and bench presses and dumbbell rows all day long. I'm probably not going to look like that if that's all it was. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? And here's what I want you to understand. Here's what we've got to understand. If we are going to be who God's called us to be, I want you to listen to me close. I want you to see this on the screen. Listen to me now. Jesus did not say, attend church. He did say, lay down your life and follow me. You will not find one scripture that Jesus simply tells you and me, if you want all God has for you, if you want the life I've destined for you, if you want to discover who I've called you to be that and walk in it, then just show up and come to church. Doesn't say it. Nowhere in this book does it say it. What it does say repeatedly and over and over and over again is lay down your life, become my disciple, and follow me. Follow me. Here's what we got to do. We've got to change the definition. When we hear the word church, or we hear the word come to church, or you hear, man, it's time to go to church, or whatever, we've got to change what that means. We've got to understand what that means. Because here's the thing. A lot of times, and a lot of the people you're going to be inviting, okay? And this isn't, listen, when you're inviting someone to church, this isn't the time to explain any of that. This isn't the time to get into any kind of theological debate about what the meaning of church is or what it is. But we've got to have that down in our soul if we're going to be followers of Jesus. Listen to me now. The common definition of church, when you hear church, when I hear church a lot of times, when I say church a lot of times, if I'm honest, what I'm really meaning is I'm defining church as a place to go. A place to go, an activity to attend, a certain amount of time each week, church is something that takes place at a certain location, at a certain time. You can take it off screen. And I'm going to church, right? And I'm going to church. Listen, all of us in this room today, we're all here. There are different reasons why we're here, okay? Some of us go to church out of a reason, out of just a tradition. We grew up going to church on Sunday, and Sunday morning's church day, so we're just going to go to church on Sundays. We're going to find some church to go to. Hopefully one that we like, hopefully one that, you know, speaks to, but we're just going to go to church, okay? That's one reason to go to church. Some of us go to church out of some sense of obligation or duty. Some of us come to church on Sunday morning because we feel guilty if we don't. We feel like it's something we should do because we're Christians and we should just do it. We show up to church and we have all these definitions of what church is and why we're here. And a lot of those common definitions that even though we don't say it, here's the thing. Many of us, if I were to ask you, define what the church is, tell me what church is, you could probably give me the actual definition that I'm going to make sure we all know in a couple of seconds. But if we're honest, I think when we say church, a lot of times we might know what it really is, but the way we treat it, the way we act about it, the way we think about it is this. It's just someplace I go. It's just a thing I do. It's an activity I attend. And basically, when I strip all the cool, churchy, spiritual words I might use to define that, at the end of the day, friends, that's just simply religion. When we think church, we think religion. Many of the people that you're going to invite to church, that's what they're thinking. That's what they're going to be thinking over the next couple of weeks. We say, come to church out of Easter, on Easter Sunday. They're going to be coming out of a tradition, out of religion, out of some sense of duty or obligation. Okay? Here's what the biblical definition of church is. Listen to me now. Church is the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is comprised of all of the Jesus followers that exist on the planet. That, friends, is the church. Now we have got to understand that. We have got to have that. If I'm gonna discover who God's called me to be and discover the life that Jesus died to give me, guess what? I've got to understand truly, biblically, what church is. So when I begin to look at it that way, church is not just a building I go to. It's not an activity I attend once or twice a week if I'm super spiritual or whatever. Listen, no, church is the gathering of all of the followers of Jesus in my local community, people that I've decided to battle with for the kingdom of God with, and we are the bride of Christ. That is the church. Amen? Now, if my definition of church is just a religious activity, a tradition, someplace I go out of a sense of duty, or someplace I go just to get some stuff figured out in my life, guess what? I will soon discover that church, by that definition, will not work. Will not work to bring any real change into my life. But if I recognize church as the community of the followers of Jesus, the bride of Christ, who I'm doing life with to all get closer to God, that will begin to change some things in my life. Amen? Here's why. Here's what we've got to ask ourselves. Okay? Jesus said in verse 25, Matthew 16, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. What I've got to ask myself when it comes to church is this. Am I here to hang on or to let go? And that's a question that each one of us need to look in the mirror and ask ourselves. Am I doing what I'm doing on Sunday morning at 10:30 or whatever time? Am I doing it to hang on or to let go? Let me unpack that a little bit. Let me break down some more reasons and get into the weeds a little more on why people are here. Because again, we're all here for different reasons. Some people show up to church. Like I said, somebody posted on my Facebook video, so I'm going to go to church, see if I can figure some stuff out of my life. Some people show up to church to fix something that's broken in their lives. And they've heard, they've seen other people that started going to church and things started changing their lives. So man, my marriage is rocky, and I know this couple, they went through some stuff and they started going to church and it got worked out. So we'll start going to church too to fix our marriage. Or man, I'm dealing with an addiction, and man, I need to figure some stuff out. I've heard of people going to church before and they got it figured out. So I'll go there to get some stuff fixed that's broken in my life. Some people show up to church just because it's the place to make friends. I mean, honestly, let's say you move to a new community and you don't know anybody, guess what? One of the greatest places you can go to meet some new friends in a new place would be church, because everybody there, if they're doing it right, has a biblical mandate to love you and to accept you and to be welcoming to you. Amen? Listen. There was a gentleman that worked alongside my wife and I in youth ministry when we were first starting out of youth ministry. He was one of the most faithful, most dedicated leaders I had ever seen. He showed up at every church event. He had been in church his whole life. He had been there since he was, let me just, a little backstory. Listen, he was a product of divorce. He had a broken home. He had a lot of emotional baggage in his life, and he found a family and church that loved him, accepted him, gravitated to him. He went through all the steps, did all the discipleship classes. Listen to me now, this is so important. He was a leader. He from all the outset, from all the aspects, you would say, man, this dude loves God. When he got into his middle 20s and got some confidence and kind of began to discover himself again, guess what? He decided, I don't really believe in God anymore. See, God can't exist. Now, again, this is somebody who had been in Spirit-filled Pentecostal church, been involved, and you worshipped, I mean, done everything you can imagine. And I asked him about it one time. We hadn't been on each other for years. And I said, dude, what's going on, man? You love God so much. How are you all of a sudden now, how did you come to this conclusion? He said this. He said, you know what? Church was a foundational part. It's something I needed. I needed that family when I was going through all that as a teenager. And I just went for it all the way. That was my family. Right? But it ultimately didn't work. Are you following me so far? We come here for all kinds of different reasons. Some people come here to make friends. Some people come here to try to fix something. Here's the thing. If I'm coming here simply to fix or to get a better version of the life that I have imagined or think for myself that I deserve or that I want, listen to me. That is, if I, again, let's strip away all the veneer. Let's strip away all the spiritual talk. Let's strip away all of that. If I am here to hang on or to fix or to make better some broken version of the life that I want, guess what I'm doing? I'm really here to hang on. If I'm here just to fix some broken piece of my heart, I'm here just to find solace or to find some comfort in a few songs and some people that I'm familiar with, and that'll say, listen, what I'm here to hang on, and this is the problem. This is the problem. I can only do that for so long before I realize, man, I'm trying to hang on. I'm scrambling trying to hang on. Why isn't anything fixing? Why isn't anything working? Why isn't anything getting better? Why am I just doing all the stuff you're saying I can do? Why? Listen, let me just throw this out there. Let me challenge you with this question. Perhaps I have been coming to church simply to hang on to the life that I want, and I have not yet truly let go of the life that I want to hang on to the one that God wants. Because what Jesus declared here is that if you are trying to hang on to the life that you want, you will lose it. That word lose in the Greek means be utterly destroyed. The more I try to hang on to my version of my best life, the more I will ultimately end up screwing it up and it will be ultimately destroyed. Jesus said the only way to experience true change, the only way to experience true salvation, the only way to experience your life truly being saved or being what God wants it is not to try to hang on to your life, rather to lose your life for his sake, to let go of your life. Listen to me close. Following Jesus will always eventually lead me to a cross. If I am truly becoming a disciple and following Jesus in my life, I will come to that path, those steps, those choices. Jesus will lead me to a cross. And friend, I don't want to sugarcoat this. And I don't want to patty cake this. And I don't want you to imagine this is when I say cross, this is not some fancily adorned, glitter-laden, polished cross that you hang up on your wall somewhere in your home with some phrase that says, "That's for me and my house." I'm not knocking that. I'm not against any of that. But I want you to understand the cross is an ugly, nasty, painful place. The cross exists for the sole purpose of crucifixion. And Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, if you want to be my disciple, what you're going to have to do is lay down your life, pick up my cross, and follow me. I cannot follow Jesus without ever finding a cross. And many people, when Jesus, they'll begin to come to church. I'm going to get my life fixed. I need to get this stuff fixed. I need to get this stuff figured out. That's fine. I don't care whatever gets you in the door, because I know that when you get in the door, you are going to encounter Jesus. I don't care what your motivation was to get you here, but I want to be very honest with you. If you don't come here and ever find a cross, you are going to walk out of here going, well, I tried it, but it didn't work. And there are testimonies of people all over. They'll say, yeah, I went to church for a little while. It didn't really do anything. I went to church for a little while. Nothing really changed. Nothing really happened. My response to that would be this. When you went to church, did you find a place to hang on, or did you find a place to let go? When you went to church, did you find it? Were you going there just to fix the life that you want? Or did you ever get to an altar and allow yourself to die? Because unless you do that, you're never going to truly experience any of the saving power of God to fix your stuff and to change you. And we have this tendency. We're all, I'm trying so hard and fighting so hard to fix what I know is broken. And Jesus just slaps us in the face with this truth that says, if you want to fix what's broken, you got to be willing to let it die. Amen? If you ever heard anything else today, and if you don't, if you want to tune out after this, I don't have much longer, but if you want to tune out after this, I just want you to get this. Listen to me close, friend. Jesus did not die on the cross to give you a better life of the version of life that you imagine. Friend, he died on the cross and rose from the dead 3 days later, not to give you a better life, but to give you a new one. He died on the cross not to simply fix what's already jacked up in your life so that you could live the best life that you think you're supposed to. No, friend, he died to give you a new life, a resurrected life. And the only way for me to find that new life is for me to be willing to let go, to lose the one I'm trying to hang on to. And so I got news for you. If you're here today and you're expecting you showing up to just fix a bunch of stuff, guess what? It's not going to happen. The only fix, Jesus said, if you lose your life, then you will save it. The only fix that is to be found is when I'm willing to let go of very quite possibly the very thing that I'm wanting God to fix. But it's in the letting go, it's in the surrender that my life is saved. And if I can come to church, I can attend every Sunday, I can serve, I can go to growth track, I can be in life groups, I can show up early and pray, I can be on the worship team, I can do all kinds of stuff that we say, this is what we need to do as followers of Jesus. This is what we need to do to reach people and to make this church a place to reach people. We can, listen to me, friend, I can do all that stuff and still never have truly surrendered. Amen? And let me just tell you from my experience of my own journey over the last 20-something years that I've been following Jesus. There's been many times that I thought I was surrendered and then realized, oh, there's still some other stuff I'm hanging on to. I guess I need to let that die too. Amen, somebody? But the change that I'm looking for, the fix that I'm looking for, the healing that I'm looking for, it's not in me hanging on. It's in me letting go. Boy, it's quiet in this Presbycostal church this morning. That's not a real thing. I just made it up. So I can hear you. I can hear your wheels spinning right now. Well, if church doesn't work, why are we even here? Why are we even come to church? What are we even doing here? What are we just wasting our time for an hour to 6 hours every Sunday? No. I'm kidding. 6 hours. You're like, whoa, 6 hours. Why even come to church then? I'm gonna give you two reasons today. Okay? Two reasons why we are here. Okay. Number one, we come to church because it's where Jesus hangs out. I don't mean in a building. I'm not talking about this. This is just a building. There's nothing magical about it. There's nothing spiritual about it. We could have church in the parking lot. We could have church in a house. We could have church down by the lake. We could have church anywhere. Jesus would show up there. You know why? Jesus shows up. So when I say Jesus is at the church, he's not in this building. He's with his bride. Amen. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There I am among them. Amen? So why do we show up to church? Why do we get together and worship? Because Jesus said, that's where I'm going to be. Amen? And if I'm following Jesus, it might stand to reason that I need to be where he is. Come on, somebody. Okay, so I recognize that Jesus shows up. Well, you know, Pastor, I experience God when I'm walking through nature all by myself, or I experience God in my prayer time. Listen, yes, you can, and yes, I do too, and I love and cherish those moments when it's me and God. But I'm telling you right now, there is an encounter with Jesus that cannot be had by myself. It can only be had amongst the group, amongst the people that God's called us to be around, amongst his bride. And the best explanation I have for that is because of this right here. Jesus said, if you want to find me, get where some of my followers are. That's where I'm going to be. So if that's where he's going to be, that's where I'm going to go. Amen? Amen? Okay? Let me give you another reason. Okay? Listen to me close now. Get this. Another reason we need to come to church is this. Jesus followers need Jesus followers. Let me say that again. Jesus followers need Jesus followers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the word of God is very clear. It says, do not neglect the meeting together of one another, as some people already have. What is he saying? Look, listen, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. Encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So what the New Testament tells us here in Hebrews, this author, he tells us, listen, if you sense that Jesus is getting near and his return is coming near, guess what? That's not the time to not meet together. That's the time to get together and encourage one another even more. Amen? Do not neglect your meeting together, okay? Why? Jesus followers need Jesus followers. This principle is set up all throughout the New Testament. Listen to me. Jesus sent his disciples out into the world to do ministry. He sent them out not one by one. He sent them out two by two in teams, recognizing that there was value in the company of believers doing ministry together. Come on, somebody. Paul went to church. Jesus went to church. The disciples gathered together. Jesus, as he's resurrected, he said, hey, hang out together in the upper room until the Holy Ghost comes on you, and then go out and do ministry together. There was this idea that church following Jesus, listen, is meant to be done together. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say we need each other. Turn to somebody else, say we need each other. Turn to somebody you don't like and say I need you. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Jesus followers need Jesus followers. Well, preacher. You know, I just believe that religion and my personal beliefs, that's a personal choice. And that's just something that I've chosen to do privately. And it's very deep and it's very personal. You're right. It is a personal choice that each and every one of us have to make to be a follower of Jesus. But here's the deal. It's a personal choice, but it's a group activity. You follow me? If I make a personal decision to be a football player, guess what? I've got to do that with a team. Amen? If my personal decision is to be a soccer player personally and privately, guess what? I can't play soccer without a soccer team. Right? But we make following Jesus, we make being a Christian, we make that such a private, personal matter that we think, well, that's just something I do in my bedroom or in the mornings when I read the Bible or I get my little scripture devotions emailed to me or whatever. And listen, I know I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek. I'm not making fun or knocking any of that. That's however you get the word, get it. I don't care, okay? There's nothing wrong with any of those things, okay? It's all good. But if I think that that's just something I do privately and I don't ever need anybody else, guess what? I'm kidding myself, because the pattern in the Bible tells me over and over and over and over again that Jesus followers needed other Jesus followers. Amen? Come on, somebody. So why come to church? Why come to church? Because that's where Jesus is going to hang out. He's going to be there among two or three. And guess what? Jesus followers need Jesus followers. That's my example. That's the pattern. Now, here is the challenge that I want to give us today. Stop just attending church. Let's start following Jesus. Stop just coming to church at 10:30 on Sunday morning and determine right now, right here in this moment, you know what? I'm going to be a Jesus follower. Some of you might be sitting here right now this morning. I want you guys to come. I want you guys to sing "What a Beautiful." I want you guys to get to that last part that we ended with. Some of you might be sitting here this morning going, man, church, I don't know, man. I've been going to church for a while. I've been listening to messages for a while, whatever. And I don't feel anything different. I just don't feel like it's working. I still feel like it's doing anything. Listen, if that's the case, this may not be the only reason, but it's at least something that's worth looking into and investigating. My question is this. Are you just coming to church? Or are you following Jesus? Because there can be a very vast difference between attending church and following Jesus. See, when I'm just coming to church for whatever reasons I have, and they may be good reasons, they may be right reasons, they may be noble reasons, they may be selfish reasons, if I'm honest. But when I'm just coming to church again to hang on to the life that I think I need to get something fixed or whatever else, church is a different experience. When I'm coming to church because I'm a Jesus follower and because I'm gonna experience the Jesus that I'm serving and living for and living my life for on a daily basis, I'm going to experience him in a greater way. I'm going to experience his presence in a more powerful way with other Jesus followers who are on that road with me. Man, church becomes a completely different dynamic. And I want you to experience the life that Jesus died to give you. But listen to me, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to trick you and tell you, if you just start showing up, show up, but it's only the gate. It's only the front door. If I keep coming, if I keep showing up, if I just keep attending, but never make that step in my heart to become a follower of Jesus, you're right, it won't work. Because that's not what Jesus asked you to do. Jesus asked you and me to be a follower of him. And so as a follower of him, I will come to church to meet with him, to meet with his people, to be with other Jesus followers. Still in Hellworth's place this morning. Can we just close our eyes for a second? Just take a second to just want to challenge you to ask you to do an inventory in your own soul, in your own heart, in your own mind this morning. I want you just to ask yourself, why am I here? What am I doing here? Am I here because I'm following Jesus and I know this is where he's led me? Or am I here just to hang on to some piece of my life that I'm just trying to hang on to and make work? Am I a church attender? Or am I a Jesus follower? Listen to me. Jesus is inviting you to become a Jesus follower this morning. You may have been in this church. You may have been in this church for 3, 4, 5 years. Maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks. Maybe 3, 4, 5 days. Don't matter. It doesn't matter how long you've been here. Listen, if you're in this place today and you're like, you know what? If I'm honest, when I look at my own soul, when I look at my own heart, man, I'm really not a Jesus follower. I'm just here out of tradition. I'm just here out of obligation. I'm here out of a sense of duty. I'm here out of a sense of guilt. Listen, I want to encourage you right now to accept his invitation to become a Jesus follower. Listen, we can go back and forth. You can start out as Jesus followers And even that can become a tradition or a religion or just something we do out of obligation. And the Lord might be just kind of shaking you this morning saying, hey, let's make this about following me again. Let's make this about laying down your life again. Let's make coming to church about laying down everything that you think you want and allowing me to, that way he can give you the life that he died to give you, man. Let's make it, listen, wherever we're at this morning, my encouragement is this: let's be Jesus followers. Let's make a determination in this house, man. We are going to be a house, we're going to be a church, we are going to be a community of Jesus followers. Whatever that means, wherever he leads us, whatever that takes, we are not going to just simply attend church. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to follow Jesus. Yeah. It's just the Lord wants us just to worship.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.